Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the summertime. Hopefully everybody's staying safe out there, having a good time. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in various locations. I want to let everybody know we're going to be at Sláinte on Friday the 17th, hopefully celebrating what I think will be the most monumental thing to happen to Baltimore in a long, long time, which is this World Cup bid. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Betty Boop scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Goodwill. Talking jobs in the city, getting back into the city with a bunch of shows here this month, as well as our friends at Window Nation. Now this month, you buy two, you get two free. That's the Window Nation deal. I'll be telling you more about that as an endorser for Window Nation. We're going to be with Mayor Brandon Scott at Next Phase Cafe on the 20th. That's on Monday after Juneteenth, but celebrating Juneteenth. Also on the 30th, we're going to be at State Fair. Don Moeller will be with us. I am wearing my State Fair shirt, Don, because we're going back to Catonsville on the 30th. We're going to be joined by Coppin State President Dr. Anthony Jenkins, as well as other dignitaries. And I know that it's political season, so tell everybody who you're endorsing, because like you're really big on the porch right now. You're front facing with Wes Moore and with Brooke Learman and with Katie. So I want you to
Katie O'Malley.
You give me the, what do they say? There's the what's the school teacher card called?
The Apple ballot.
The Apple ballot. What's the Mueller ballot? I want the Mueller ballot.
The Mueller ballot. Well, the Mueller ballot is that I believe from the beginning that Wes Moore will be a transformational governor. I've known Wes for over a decade. I have a lot of friends in this race. I mean, I'm people that I'm fond of, from, you know, Tom Perez, Doug Dansler, Rashern Baker, obviously a good friend from his days as county executive in Prince George's County. But among that group, I think that Wes will just be a transformational leader. And I think when he says that we will leave no one behind, that's not a campaign slogan. I think that's the way Wes will govern. And I think we're going to see amazing things. I think Wes is going to win. It's going to take everyone working hard. It's going to be a close race, but I think he's going to win.
But we're getting there, man. This is 4 weeks out now, right?
It's amazing. We're down to about 40 days. Yeah, it's pretty.
And, you know, I guess for me, maybe as a kid growing up, being tethered to politics through my father, and we've had fun with Ted Bonatoulis, you know, over the course of time, and being involved in various campaigns, giving money, licking stamps for Tom Harkin, you know, in 1980, whenever, like stuff that I did politically to be active in some way. You know, this last 4 years with you and seeing how, like, you can't help yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like literally, you are a politico. And you need to fly a flag. You're a guy that has to have a sign on your lawn for someone, no matter what. You are as active as anybody I know in regard to you can't help. Even in this format where we're interviewing people and stuff like that, I can pick a side, but you always pick a side because you feel it's important. And well, I respect that. I really do.
Boy, you know, Nestor, that's what we love about the Recon, right, is that we tap into all kinds of thoughts and ideas. You know, you and I often joke that democracy is not a spectator sport. And I've believed that since I was a little kid. You know, we're not going to get to half the stuff we want to talk about, so we'll do it when you get back from vacation.
The but audience doesn't know the other half, so you don't have to tell them. It's okay.
Right. When I was a little kid, I tell people this. I've written about it before. You know, when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, sitting around the dinner table at my grandparents' house on a Sunday, you know, it was huge Sunday dinners. There were huge Sunday dinners. And my aunts and uncles and grandparents were always fighting, arguing, discussing politics. And I probably did not realize.
This is in the 50s? When is this?
Yeah, 55.
I'm trying to think of what the conversations would be before Kennedy gets shot.
Well, they had great fights over the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby, of course. I mean, I do remember some historical.
The great mystery of the 20th century, right? Literally.
And then, of course, there were the. Remember, it does age me, but I think about this from time to time, and it wasn't front and center at the moment. But when I'm 5, 6, 7 years old, so, you know, I'm 72, right? I just turned 72. Hard to believe. So in 55, 56, you know, we're 10 years after defeating Hitler. I mean, it's pretty fresh in everyone's mind. I mean, I would equate it. I would say to folks, remember how it felt in, you know, 10 years after 9/11 or 20 years after 9/11. It's still fresh in our mind. Well, this, you know, my aunts and uncles and grandparents were coming out of World War II.
Come on, Don. I mean, I grew up in a household where my father got thrown out of Scranton with no food in his belly, coming down here to make bombers at Martin Marietta to win a war, right? To get a job at a plant, right?
That would
eventually kill him, literally, right?
And my dad, what you're talking about, even though by this time he had left when I was 3 years old, but he did serve in Korea. He was Hawkeye Pierce. So he served his country as a doctor in a MASH unit in Korea. So they talked about all of that. And then, of course, we had the Cold War. And at that time, Nestor, we're hiding under desks and hiding in cloakrooms.
Oh, so Colgate Elementary had bomb shelters, brother.
There you go. So it all that. And then, of course, you get to the Nixon Kennedy. I mean, I guess the first real engagement that I felt was as a 10-year-old at St. Mark Elementary. So 10 years old, what? I guess I'm in the fifth grade, you know, fourth or fifth grade. And a Roman Catholic appears to be ready to win the presidency. And I'm taught by nuns and, you know, the sense of pride of that. So I had an uncle that was a social studies teacher at Hereford High School. So all of that was part of my life.
That must have been your mentor, right? I mean,
you became a social studies teacher. And he lived right around the corner. So, yeah, I'm watching him do lesson plans. And, you know, it was always part of who we are. So you are correct.
My dad was a lawn sign guy. So I grew up in a house with a lawn. My dad had something on the lawn every election. It was always Democratic. And it was always Democratic because my dad starved during Herbert Hoover. My father always told that story. My father starved because Herbert Hoover lied to everyone during his childhood. And after that, he was an FDR man. He was a Kennedy man. Not disrespectful toward Reagan or Eisenhower or even Nixon. My dad didn't MF Nixon. Like, I never heard my dad revered Kennedy, right? But my dad never MF Nixon. Because I don't think my dad thought it was cool to talk bad about America, you know, like in that way. You know what I mean? Even Watergate's the first thing I ever saw on television as a kid.
Well, we're first memory. If we have time, we will get into what may be the new Watergate hearings that are about to take place. And by the time people hear this or see this, many of them will have seen for the first time the January 6th hearings. But I just want to make one other comment about your observation that I'm in the game and why I'm working so hard for a Wes Moore and a Brooke Learman and a Katie Curran O'Malley, as well as local candidates, is you and I joke that democracy is not a spectator sport. And I believe that. And I believe that as long as I can and as long as I'm able, if I feel strongly about a candidate, I ought to stand up and be able to articulate why I feel strongly about that candidate. And, you know, I feel we'll be a better state if we have a Wes Moore as governor, a Brooke Learman as controller, and a Katie O'Malley as the attorney general. I think our state will be in good shape. I think, for example, with Katie and Brooke, it's not the only reason, but we need more women in elective office. I absolutely believe we need more women. So, yeah, you're right. I'm very involved in that. But, Nestor, I was thinking of you, and I want you to talk about this a little bit. And as folks know, we don't green room the recon. I thought of you when Jack Del Rio once again shot his mouth off. And let me preface it before I ask for your reaction. Because
I have a reaction.
I think, well, wait a minute. I know that you're close with Jack. I know that you are fond of Jack. And for folks who don't know, Jack Del Rio is the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders, formerly with the Baltimore Ravens, former head coach
Indiana. I love that you Commanders rolled off your tongue. I have to find you 25
cents. I'm getting used to it.
I did Munch Bishop last week in Cleveland. Guardians Radio Network.
It's the Washington Commanders. It is hard to do. So I know you are close with – and this gets to
– by the way, I haven't had any reaction to this in the real world yet. So, okay. Keep going. I'm going to get you.
So Jack Del Rio – the other day, and we know Jack's conservative because he's been in the eye of the storm before. He's a MAGA guy. We know that. So the other day, he decides to say, to denigrate the January 6th commission by saying that what we had at the Capitol was a little dust up, and the real crime against America were people protesting in the streets, the shooting of innocent black men and women. I mean, that's pretty much a direct quote from Jack Del Rio.
So the talking points of that lead to Kyle Rittenhouse, which makes me nauseous.
So I have framed it for you. I know your relationship. I know it's probably difficult for you to read that about Jack because you like him. So now take us down your reaction when you saw the tweet.
Well, I'll say this. The division between right and left, and again, you know, one of the things about my father, taking it back to him, is I never heard my father speak of Republicans as less than human. or he didn't hate Republicans. He didn't hate Republican candidates. I think about the Republicans he may have supported. Helen Deitch Bentley, he didn't hate her. Or was Mac Mathias Republican? I believe, right? I'm talking about back in the day. The notion that Jack and I would be friends for all these years, and we never not stayed in touch, but we sort of rekindled things every year at the Combine. I would usually see him at St. Elmo's, and we'd have a shrimp cocktail, and he would say the same thing. You know what Jack would always say, Don? He would always say, how did somebody not hire Billick? Billick's a better coach than me. Like, I've been to coach like 8 years in Jacksonville. How does someone not want that man to be their leader? He's the best leader of men. Like, Jack's a big Brian guy, and not because I'm partners with Brian, but that was part of the basis of a lot of this is that, and I love Jack as a player. I remember Jack as a player with the Vikings and whatnot. So we hit it off in the beginning. We stayed in touch all these years. Sort of famously, you can see the video when he was the coach of the Raiders. And by the way, we're spending time with the man who, we want a good news story. We're spending time with the man who saved my wife's life twice this week. And we were in Oakland actually the morning after Trump was elected. Literally, the morning after Trump was elected. So that was the Wednesday of November 9th of 2016. I gave a speech to the then Oakland Raiders. Rod Woodson was in the room. Mike Tice was in the room. Some future Ravens were in the room. Derek Carr got swabbed that day. But the story about Jack and politics, like that day, nothing. We didn't talk about Trump. We didn't talk about anything like that. But Jack and I went out when Billick went in the Ring of Honor. A lot of people were in Baltimore that weekend, and we had a big steak down at Ruth's Chris. Not just Jack, it was 20 of us. Goose was there. Lionel Dalton was there. Kim Herring was there. Kyle Richardson. Just a bunch of people, a bunch of old friends. So we wound up over at the Atlas Properties over outdoors in front of Uzu Bay. The Uzu Beach area, and we drinking, having a good time. And we had to walk back through the city. And we walked back through the city, and during that talk, it became very clear how MAGA'd Jack was. And this wasn't like we weren't drunk or anything like that. We literally – and the best part of this, and I bet you don't know this. Don, I'm pointing the wrong way. If you look underneath of the World Trade Center right here, like right in front of where the boats go, the little – there is a plaza that honors the 2001 Ravens championship. It's literally right in front of Cheesecake Factory. It's in the cement. There are bricks with every coach, every player's name, and there's a beautiful Super Bowl 35 logo with the score. And I said to Jack walking back, I'm like, dude, your name's on a brick in the harbor. He's like, what? I'm like, No, really. Like, it's there. This is 2:15 in the morning. We're walking through the city on a Saturday night before a Ravens game. Like, you know, 3 years ago, right before the plague. Jack was out of work that year. Jack was ESPNing that year. Remember, Jack was on ESPN. He was really good on ESPN. And here I am taking a picture with a grown-ass man who's been a coach of, you know, three NFL teams, laying on the bricks because he wanted a picture with his brick. But we had a MAGA chat. And Don, I don't know how you handle it. And because these are divided political times, and you and I see no correctness at all in anything we saw during those 4 years of lies, deceit, theft. I mean, larceny on a scale that we're never going to fully measure with that hotel and kings and sheiks and the Secret Service that apparently we're going to find out more about with the January 6th committee. But with Jack, here's how it went. He's like, no, you got it all wrong. And I'm like, we probably shouldn't talk about this. We've had a nice night. By the way, you're muted, Don. You know, like, there comes a point where we've had the greatest night. We're having a good time. But at that moment, it literally was at the store. He was staying at the Hyatt and I lived next door. Right. So we were walking together through the city and that conversation came up on that walk. And I remember thinking, we probably should steer this in a different direction, Jack, you know, like we just probably should. And I don't know where else to go other than, are you out of your effing mind watching Fox News? Do you believe this bullshit? Did you really watch this guy for 4 years? This guy would fake everything, including fake wealth. He's built nothing. He knows nothing. He bankrupts everything. He's abused women. He's abused people. He's abused employees. He's lied about virtually everything. No one wants to keep his company. He's an open racist. It's clear. So if you're throwing your flag with that, I'm not going to say that to Jack Del Rio at 2:38 a.m. on the plaza in front of M&S Grill or quiz people on the streets about how they would feel about Jack's thoughts there at that moment or the players on his team. But the stuff I saw this week, so my Jack story is this. I saw Jack 15 days ago. I didn't even talk to Marvin or Brian or even Rod, but I talked to Jack on the stage at the end of the night. And this is the God's honest truth, Don. Today is June 9th as we're taping the recon. Jack and I were supposed to get dinner tonight before we fly out of Dulles. And I was supposed to reach to Jack. And I was going to reach to Jack like I usually do, 48 hours out. Hey, are you around? You know, camp this. We fly at 8. Do you want to grab dinner at Tyson's at 5? We'll meet you here. We'll get dinner before we fly, hang out. And I reached to the phone. And I was at Wise Markets. My wife was driving. And I saw it all go down. I was saying this to my wife. And she knows how fond I am of Jack. And she's fond of Jack, too. And Jack's wife and like all of that. I saw the podium thing and I thought it was like the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. And I just think he's such a smart man. And I think this really speaks to remembering really smart people in our lives, accomplished people, good people who put a Trump sign out on their lawn, dignified this madness for 4 years and are re-sanctioning this again by denigrating what happened in front of everyone on live television. Now, all of the videos from the inside are there. Murders took place that day. Abuse of police took, you know, all that. We love the blue. We love the blue.
And okay. Evidently, we're going to see.
So you wanted me to lose my mind? Good. You just got it. I lost my mind. Now, and I don't know what to do about Jack. I don't know what to do about anyone because there are people very associated in my world who strongly believe those beliefs, and I seek to keep their friendship. I seek to keep the relationship, but I don't know how we can discuss this you think Donald Trump is an honest man. If that's your premise, that's we can't discuss it any further because I know better. I know I'm from Dundalk. Yeah. I know a bullshitter when I see one.
Well,
and in the fact that 38% of America doesn't is It's gravely disappointing to me at this point in my life. It really is. And I don't know how we, I don't know how I get in a room with Jack and discuss this. I really don't.
Well, you don't. And I would imagine that our listeners, wherever they are, far and wide, and again, we thank all of our listeners for supporting us and hopefully voting for us as Baltimore's best podcast, right, in the Baltimore Sun. But I would imagine that all of them are having images right now of loved ones and friends that they have that same challenge with in their lives.
Because these people can't turn Fox News off. And these just the fact that they're not airing the facts and the videos and the evidence from the Secret Service, the FBI, every agency in that this country employs to keep it, as I always say to John Martin, on the up and up. You know what I mean? Keep this country on the up and up. There was nothing about what happened here from 2016 to 20 that was on the up and up in the White House. Nothing. Well, there was no evidence that it was ever on the up and up. And there was no reporter, legitimate reporter there from Woodward, you know, all along that ever thought it was on the up and up.
Well, the fact, and you just mentioned it, the fact that the network that has the most viewers in the nation, Fox News, will not air these hearings, and in fact will air counter programming with Laura Ingraham,
with lies,
Sean Hannity, and
lies Tucker, about a stolen
Tucker the Nazi Carlson, that they will air them with counter program. Listen,
and that Jack Del Rio believes it.
That they believe
that's
well,
really that,
because
that,
they follow
and people like echo. Jack Del Rio believe it, and they won't. They will
Chamber.
Not.
Here's what I would say to you, though.
They've and come into the court of law with a preconceived verdict.
No doubt. And
I wouldn't want them on my jury. I wouldn't.
That's the most dangerous thing, right? Is that we have gone past a point where we can say, "Let's everyone watch this." And then decide whether or not you think there's any there. But to say Republicans are embarked now on two major issues of the day right now, correct? January 6th, and I love the way McConaughey calls it, gun responsibility. Matthew McConaughey, all right, my new hero, calls it gun responsibility. So in this echo chamber that Jack Del Rio is living in, Steve Scalise comes
out. By the way, can I say something on McConaughey? Just real quick, that if this happened at Dundalk High and I went down there and got on a podium and said, "What the is going on?" If somebody from Newsmax, whatever that is, asked me if I was grandstanding,
right,
I'd punch him.
Right.
You. Melissa Hyatt would have me in cuffs.
Right. That was
that's a God's honest truth. They would have me in cuffs.
Yeah. Anybody,
if I'm at El Delvale Avenue and we got 14 dead kids in Dundalk, and somebody asked me if I'm grandstanding, I don't know how I'd react to that.
And for those
probably
of
make
you
me really may, bad politician, bro. You know,
for those of you who may not be familiar with what Nestor is referring to, after Matthew McConaughey, a gun owner, a proud gun owner, a son of Texas, got up and clearly stated, "Folks, let's not have the Second Amendment be hijacked. Let's not have it be hijacked," right? That there, we're not talking gun control. We're talking gun responsibility. A reporter from Newsmax, which is not a news agency, it is a propaganda of the authoritarian right, screamed at McConaughey, "Weren't you grandstanding?" I mean, it's a bizarre use of journalistic power. So that's the echo chamber, Nestor. And in the midst of it, you've got Steve Scalise somehow saying that we didn't ban planes after 9/11. So why would we ban guns? About the stupidest thing anyone can say. But the and we're going to get out of here because we're going across the pond to talk with our friend, senior editor at Baltimore Magazine, who is in Ireland. taking time out to join us, going to talk about his latest piece in Baltimore Magazine on 20 years looking back at The Wire. But let's end with the outrage of the week. And you know, I am not a violent person. But if I actually was in a room with Matt Gaetz, I don't know what I'd do with Marjorie Taylor Greene, because I certainly wouldn't punch a woman. I probably would punch Matt Gaetz, try to take him right to the floor. Because this week, when Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene attacked our friend, one of the finest men that we know, Congressman Jamie Raskin, and suggested that because Jamie endured a personal tragedy and his family suffered the most unthinkable of all tragedies, that he was somehow unfit to serve in the United States Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, I'll say to you what my mother used to say. There's a special place in hell for you. There is a special place in hell for you. And whether you're Jack Del Rio or anyone else, if you think that kind of rhetoric is acceptable in the United States of America, then you're listening to the wrong show. Please unfriend Nestor. Please unfriend me. Don't subscribe to any of my blogs, because Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, there is a special place in hell for you. And with that, Nestor, I'm tapped out this week on the Recon.
Don Mohler, former Baltimore County Executive, getting me fired up on thoughts. The thing about Del Rio that just blew my mind is that I know that organization. Look, that organization's so screwed up, we're getting the World Cup next week, right? So we should be very, very pleased with the legacy of George Preston Marshall and Jack Kent Crook and Art Modell and David and building this stadium, because next week we're going to have what they want. And what they needed, which is our stadium. So, and our city and our hotels and our water and our beauty and our Federal Hill and all of that and our Star Spangled Banner. But I'll say this with Jack, I can't believe that in Washington, where officers died, that could be said he could keep his job. I mean, I said, that's just the amazing part to me, to think, like, I reach for my phone in the Wise Market to like text something to him. And I just stopped, and I realized, my God, we were supposed to have dinner tomorrow night. I mean, doing that.
Hey, let me say, we got to get at it. Let me say this to you, though. Try to find a place where you keep your relationship with Jack.
I love Jack.
Yeah, and I know you do.
But I don't think dinner tonight was a good idea.
And I think your instinct at 2:15 in the morning was the right one. Jack, and I think your text to Jack would go something like this. Jack, you know I don't agree with the thing you said. I still love you. I still love to have dinner. We just won't talk about this. We've got too much that's gone down between us to let it go up in flames like this. I don't like what you said, but we won't talk about it. We'll talk about the other thing. Try to keep the relationship. It's a challenge. Everybody out there.
Well, he's got his hands full today anyway, because like it was just an outrageously stupid thing to say.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say, and he should know better. He's
Don Mohler. Have a great
trip. I say a lot of outrageously stupid things. Just stick around. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. From sea to shining sea and across the sea. Stay with us. Find me out on Facebook and Twitter this week. It'll be fun.